Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're glad you're joining us for this conversation. Today we have two special guests, Pastor Thomas and Mitch, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves and then we'll talk about the actual content of the podcast and what we're going to try to cover in this podcast. So Pastor Thomas, tell us your name. I guess I've already taken that away. What do you do at our church? And maybe your favorite verse, just for fun.
Sure. I'm Pastor Thomas Calamence. I've been at Cloverdale Baptist Church for about 14 years.
Wow. That's almost as long as me.
I know. It's a great gift that God has given to me.
Faithfulness.
Be able to stay here and serve. So very appreciative of that. My official title is the Associate Pastor of Families with a focus on youth, although I also oversee our midweek kids program called Awana.
How do you put that on a card so you can hand it out? Associate Pastor plus Awana.
Do you actually put the plus? I don't hand out cards anymore.
Oh, yeah, I don't either. I have a bunch.
Yeah, so do I.
Elias, our creative genius, gave me some. Mitch, welcome as well. How long have you been here?
My name is Mitch Jansen. I've been here for about a year and a half. I'm loving my time here, and we've made this place our home, which has been fantastic. My official role title, I guess, is two-part. One is the Young Adults Ministry Coordinator, so I lead and coordinate the Young Adults group that meets here every Friday. And then I also help Johnny in the worship ministry, so I'm a worship associate, so helping lead and plan worship services.
Wonderful. We want to talk about what's happening in the young adult and youth culture and how that's impacting the church. And we hear all sorts of statistics about young people leaving the church and youth leaving the church and the way youth and young adults are thinking and feeling. And we know some of this is cultural. So often new ideas fight against traditions that have been there before. But we also feel, at least I feel, that some of this puts what we believe at risk. And we desperately want to be a church that shapes our worldview around the Bible, that understands in those lenses how to think about everything else. And so when things come at us, whether they're good or bad, we evaluate them with what God says and who God is. God is real and relevant, I suppose. And I think it's important that we as a church are involved in shaping those things and in helping parents lead their children and young adults, and you, I suppose, all the way through and continue to do that. I still try to do that with my adult children. And so we want to talk to the experts in our congregation, not only about what we're doing, but maybe advice that you guys would have for parents. So maybe, Pastor Thomas, I'll start with you. How are we seeking as a church to shape a biblical worldview where the world is so fighting against that?
So as I understand worldview, your worldview answers questions like, who am I? What's my purpose in life? Who made this world? What's right and wrong, and who defines that? So in our youth ministry and in our Awana ministry as well, but specifically in our youth ministry, we are pointing our youth to the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the lens through which we need to see all of life. It tells us who we are, what our purpose is, who made this world, and what is right and wrong. And it tells us that God is the one who defines those things. So scripture has a central role in our ministry. On our Wednesday night youth ministry, we have a sermon. We have a time where we talk about what we've learned. On our Wednesday nights, we have small group leaders. And we're very careful who we put in those positions. We're very careful to make sure that they are godly examples and that they are living their lives out with a biblical worldview. Of course, none of us are perfect, but that is our goal. We also take time to talk about current issues. And we do so through a biblical lens as well. So we say, this is the issue that's going on. What does the Bible have to say about it? Constantly pointing them back to that biblical lens.
I think that's so important, especially as we're shaping the worldview. And we need to realize we swim in a world that wants to shape their worldview in a different way. And thank you for defining that. Mitch, you're fairly new in the young adult ministry and are our resident expert in it. Do you want to add anything to what Pastor Thomas has said?
No, I agree. I think the Bible is the foundation of what a Christian worldview should be, answering questions like, who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? The Bible is the thing that answers those questions. And I think young adults especially are constantly being challenged by events in the world that are saying, this is who you are, and this is what you're made to be and made to do. I mean, those conflict with the Bible and what the Bible teaches. And so I would say my goal at Young Adults is to say, how can we stay true to the biblical worldview? How can we not cave into things in the culture that are pointing us elsewhere? And I totally agree, Thomas. It's the Bible that grounds what our worldview should be based on. So how can we grow a passion in young adults, specifically for the Bible, for them to say, this is what's important, this is where I'm going to shape my worldview, and I'm not going to be swayed by the distractions and the things of this world that are pulling me away from that.
I love that. I don't think this is a new problem, so I just want to throw that out there. I think this has always been a problem. Yeah. I do think some of the things that our youth and young adults are struggling with is shocking for us that are a little tiny bit older. I think I'm 2 years older than you, Thomas, and 3 years older than you, Mitch. So we're kind of in the same generation. But I do think it's difficult for us. This is the first time in my ministry life where I'm getting some pretty sharp questions with confusion on the LGBTQ stuff and things like that. But I don't think it's the first time that we've been world saturated rather than word saturated as a church. And sometimes that's tradition. Sometimes that's when the world and the culture are invading. I do love that we as a congregation track how our young adults are doing after they've gone out of youth and how we have a passion to see them follow Jesus and align with his word. So I guess to summarize what you've said so far, it's pretty basic. We need to learn to think and live as though God is real and relevant, and we do that by being word saturated and loyal to the word of God. So I suppose, how do you think we're doing as a congregation now in those two specific ministries? And maybe Mitch, start with you and then go to Pastor Thomas.
You know, I think we're doing good. I think this is a topic at Young Adults that we recognize is important and want to address. And so actually in the spring, we're going to be moving through a series called Big Questions of Christianity that address big worldview questions like, how can God be good if there are evil things that happen in this world? Questions like that, that we feel like young adults need to focus on and need to talk about and discuss in order to shape their worldview to be one that is grounded in what God's word says.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I think the goodness of God. So when he gives a command, you know, often we see God's commands as limiting us. If the world sees something as good that God limits, and yet God is so good that every one of the limits that he gives us is actually good. It's for our good and his glory. And it's that view of God and view of life. I agree. I think our young adults are seeking God and his word, and I think have been trained well by our youth program. So I suppose over to you, Pastor Thomas, those of that gone through our youth program.
Sure.
How are we doing? What are we doing? How is this going in youth?
You know, youth ministry is one where we have those who have been in youth, have come up through our kids program, and we have those who are brand new. We have those who are bringing friends. So it's somewhat of a mixed bag, but we definitely are seeing growth in our youth ministry, in our in the maturity of those who would claim Christ as their Savior. Of course, we have people who are coming who do not claim Christ as their Savior, and we love for them to come and hear and to hear the difference that the Bible makes and what the difference that faith in Jesus makes versus the world. So their worldview is being constantly challenged on Wednesday nights, and so that sparks some great discussions.
I love that.
In our small groups. So what we love to see is, as you have said before, Pastor Rob, each one reach one. We have our youth bringing friends, and they bring them out, and we have good conversations. Just recently, I heard about a conversation between a leader and someone who was relatively new to our youth ministry within this school year, and they had that conversation about, you know, hey, what do you believe about Jesus? And this person does not believe in Jesus, and they had kind of an incorrect view of the gospel. And it was very works-based. And of course, we know that's not how you're saved. It is by grace through faith. And so we're having these awesome conversations. So youth ministry, I think we're doing well in this. We are teaching a biblical worldview. We're seeing lives changed. And we have people all through the spectrum, those who are brand new to church, those who have come a little bit, those who know a little bit of the Bible but don't fully understand it. And then we have those who are fully devoted and becoming more and more mature as we all are. So I'm excited.
So it's like the Matthew 28, we're trying to make disciples and take you from wherever you are at and
absolutely
conform you to the image of Christ through the power of the gospel and the transforming grace that God gives
us. And what I love is when you preach the word, as we do on Wednesdays, and you get new people come, and they come back, and they come back. And it's, I think the power there is God bringing them, and the power is in his word. And we're not watering it down. We're not making it, well, we're going to take this out because the culture says it's not okay. It's exactly what the Bible says. We preach through it, and they come back, and they want to know, and they grow, and we see lives change for Jesus, which is amazing.
God's view of things is powerful.
Powerful.
And more important than the world's.
Yes, we're not going to compromise the Word of God.
I think that's so important. And I think, you know, when I teach this sort of stuff in Bible college, I think it's important on both sides. We're not going to add to the Word of God. We're not going to take away from the Word of God. Where the Word of God is clear, we will be, and where it's not, we might have convictions and passionate traditions mm-hmm. that we love, but we're not going to fight over those things. We're going to stand firm where the Word of God is. And I think our staff, Cloverdale Baptist, you're blessed. The people we work with really have that passion. I think something that would be helpful as we continue is, do you have advice for parents? I know I talked to a number of parents who are struggling. Their children are asking questions and confused, maybe worldviews. Any advice for parents?
One thing I would say is something that was helpful for me growing up was not only having parents that spoke and taught the right things to me and preached to me, you must have this worldview in this way, certain way, but parents that actually model that. And I think it's something that if kids see in their parents, oh, they say one thing, but they do the complete opposite and they don't actually have that worldview, then that's not something that they're going to be wanting to follow in those footsteps, because it's not something that is genuine in them.
I think that's so important. So model what it means to live life as though God is real and relevant, to live a Word-saturated life.
Absolutely.
To show them the priorities of the Word of God in your life and the God of the Word transforming your life.
And then I think the second thing I would say is it's important for parents to understand what is the worldview that is fighting against the Christian worldview. So what are the things in the culture today for your kid in their age group, if they're a teenager, if they're a young adult, or if they're 5 to 10 years old, or whatever the age is, what are the things that they are struggling against? And what are the ways in which the world is trying to pull them away from the biblical worldview? And how do we combat those specifically? How can we answer some of the tough questions that the world
culture is asking?
Exactly.
Yeah. So often for us older people who have children your age, the worldview doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The world's worldview.
I think
that's helpful.
As a youth leader in the past, and I'm not that far removed from high school, but I've gone back and felt, oh my goodness, this is so different. The conversations, even just how technology has advanced since I've been in high school, I feel like a complete alien when I'm at youth, because it's, wow, they're facing so many different challenges than even when I was there. So
it's almost learning those challenges and responding.
Exactly.
I like that. And I really I think Thomas talked about this a little bit earlier with his youth sponsors. What do you call them? They're not sponsors.
We call them leaders.
Thank you. Youth leaders. I call them sponsors because I'm old. With the leaders, and that they are modeling what it means to follow Jesus. That's really important. And I think that's so important in the home as well. And also that when you have stands in the home that are not necessarily biblical, but are good stands for you to take, I think be honest about that. Be clear that it's God's word guiding you and then a passion for God's glory. And you can shape all sorts of decisions that aren't in the Bible with that passion, but make that clear so that the kids don't learn a traditional Christianity that can't be backed up by the Bible, but rather a word-saturated Christianity that's modeled. Pastor Thomas, anything you want to add to that?
Oh, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with Mitch on modeling. Having your time in the Word, making sure the Word is central in your home as I'm speaking to parents. But I would also say it's important to have others speaking into their lives as well. So you have that, maybe that good family friend, maybe that person who's slightly older, maybe it's a grandparent who they stand in the gap there sometimes when maybe you're not quite communicating with your teenager in, for whatever reason, the way that's going to get through to them. Having those other people who also have that biblical worldview who can come alongside and say, yeah, and this is why your parent thinks this. And sometimes just having that different perspective or for that different voice is a great thing to have. And that's one of the reasons that we're very careful about who we have as leaders, because we know that our leaders at youth are going to be an influence in the lives of those who are at youth ministry. I think talking to your teenagers is important. So instead of just telling them things, have a discussion with them. In Acts 17:2, Paul's in Thessalonica and he says he reasoned with them from the scriptures. So dive into the Word with your teenagers and say, hey, what's going on here? Let's talk about this. And if you don't know, admit it and go do some research on it.
Or call Pastor Thomas and ask.
Yeah, you can do that too. And if I don't know, I'll do some research on it. I think another thing is make church a priority. I know we've heard stats before. It's such a high percentage. If your parents are going to church, the kids are you going to follow? And having that, I guess it's a part of modeling, but make church a priority. You go on vacation, find a church to go to. I know it's not your home church. You may never, ever see those people again, but you're showing, hey, God is important to us. And we think that he is worthy of our praise. We're going to get together with other Christians today and praise him at whatever church you're at. I think technology is a big thing to be aware of as parents today, as Mitch touched on. Know what your kids are looking at. If that's some kind of software, accountability software you need to use, explain that to them. Say, hey, this is why we're doing this. Again, have that talk with them and partner and say, we want to protect you. This is what we want to protect you from. And so this is what we're going to do. And maybe even explain to them how you have accountability in your life and how that's important, not just for them now, but for their whole lives. I think friends are a giant influence in the life of any teenager. Know who your kids' friends are. Know who they're talking to. It might even be appropriate at one point in time to step in and say, let's talk about this friend and the influence they're having on you and work that through with them and figure out maybe even if a friendship needs to be, you know, taken a step back if it's harming them. I think, and the last piece of advice, I know I've given a lot of advice here, is let them see how you work things through. So let them see you wrestle with an issue through biblical worldview. So whatever that is, and maybe that's a conversation between parents, between you and your husband or wife, whatever the case may be. Let them listen in on that and see how you go to scripture and wrestle through things. And maybe you go in and have a meeting with a pastor. You're seeking advice on something. Maybe you bring your teenager with you and they can listen and hear how those things are reasoned through. And the last thing is, I think it's important for families to have time together regularly. So make sure that you are discipling your kids. Make sure you are the main voice. As we know from the book of Deuteronomy, that's our responsibility as parents. So make sure you have those regular times, whether that's a dinner time, whatever it is. Don't let the other things in life rip your teenagers away from you. So if you're constantly running around to different activities, you don't have time together, that needs to change so that you can influence your kids for Christ.
I think this is great advice. And I've appreciated having both of you on. I would affirm, let's make sure that we are modeling what it means to follow Jesus and obey his word and think biblically. I think I would affirm a commitment to the local church. So often we see that as an optional, and then we're surprised when our children hit young adult age and decide church is optional for them, or we change churches for reasons that are beyond them or non-biblical reasons. And I think to show that kind of commitment and love and loyalty to Jesus and his bride is so important. And I loved all of the advice you have given. So if you have any questions, if you're struggling maybe with your young adult or your youth or your children, we would love to help you. We have staff here to help with that. And just to remind you that although the church exists to make disciples and to baptize people and to teach them to obey all that God has commanded, the central place for discipleship is the home. And we want to partner with you and help you as parents and as young adults and as children to follow Jesus with all your heart and might and to obey his word and to think, to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So thank you for joining us. Again, if you have questions, feel free to email one of our staff. We'd love to help you. It's so important for us to get this right in the home and at the church and to be those who glorify God and believe he is real and relevant because he is. Thank you for joining us.